This is Shop Talk, our weekly discussion of journalism issues. I'm Rich Egger.
I'm Lisa Koenig.
And I'm Mike Murray.
We're going to discuss an article called The Future of Mobile News. This is a report from last year from the Pew Research Center's Project for Excellence in Journalism and the Economist Group. It found an estimated 50% of U.S. adults now own either a tablet device or smartphone that connects to the Internet, and 66% of these device users say they get news from these mobile devices. You know, what's also interesting here is it's not just always a glance at headlines. Some of these people report that they are looking at some more in-depth type of articles. And I think that was one of the concerns with mobile devices, is that it would be more just sort of scanning at information. But I think especially with tablets, which is a little larger screen, you can, and some people, you know, have these e-readers where they're reading entire books. So why not look at a longer, in-depth piece of journalism on a device like that, too? I think we're starting to see a bit of a shift in the way people are getting their information. Maybe you don't need a hard copy newspaper or book to read or magazine to read a long form piece anymore, Mike.
No, I don't think you do. I have to say that I still personally don't have a tablet or anything, a smartphone like that. But my wife has gotten a tablet, and she uses it to, you know, read magazines, and we also watch Dragnet reruns on Netflix and things like that. It's a very incredibly versatile tool, and I know that Joanne uses her tablet, the iPad, to read articles and so forth in her field, and then also magazine articles and various things. So what I guess I don't understand, and you know, is why all of this has taken as long as it has, because I think the question of mobility is the issue. It's I think computer manufacturers and technology people have kind of been unable to determine quite yet how mobile things need to be in order for people to use them.
I think people want to take things with them, and I think the fact that they can might be encouraging them to look to read more news, because now they can just call it up anytime they want.
That's right.
Yeah. It's unlike being on the air on the radio station or a television station where you have to tune in at a particular time to hear the news, or the newspaper that comes out once a day. Even back in the glory days of the newspaper, when they come out with several editions a day, you still had to wait for that. Whereas with these mobile devices, if some question pops in your head, or there's something that maybe you heard about someplace else, you can go look up the news right then and there.
I can see the appeal of that, especially if you live in a city where you're riding subways, or you always have your reading material with you, and so you could read little bits at a time. And earlier we were talking about an interview on NPR last week with the editor of the New Republic, Chris Hughes, who talked about this change in reading habits, and how even a magazine like the New Republic has, I think, 20% of the traffic coming from mobile. So even people are reading, you know, that's a magazine that publishes long articles, and people are reading those on digital devices. So I like this trend, and also there are whole websites devoted to long form journalism, and
ProPublica is a good example.
Atavist is a new one I just read about in the Columbia Journalism Review, publishing long narrative pieces. You can get long pieces, little e pieces. I forget what they're called anyway, for your e-reader, long-form articles that just sell by the article on Amazon. So, and it's a good thing, because newspapers are shrinking their news holes. They don't have the space for the longer pieces.
Of course, the one thing, it was if you're like in an urban environment, it was always nice if someone just left a newspaper behind. Maybe you could pick it up and take a quick glance at things. I don't think anyone's going to leave their tablet behind, so you can be on the cheap and read a newspaper that way.
True, yeah.
One other thing that's come out that's kind of interesting, the New York Times. Lisa, you forwarded a piece to us that they're now taking in more revenue from subscriptions than from advertising. And I would imagine many of those subscriptions must be online.
Yeah, that's because they went to they're not charging for access to the website after you get free 10 articles free and then you have to pay. So, and this has been a success for them. They've seen a lot more revenue from their digital subscriptions, but at the same time, their pay advertising mm-hmm. is dropping. So
it's a combination of one going up and the other coming down. It's just not a matter of advertising dropping to the point where subscription revenue exceeds it. The subscription mm-hmm. revenue is rising at the same time.
Right. So it's that's a good trend.
You're both from newspaper backgrounds. Did you think you'd ever see a day when subscription revenue would exceed advertising revenue for a newspaper?
It's a huge change because usually something like 80% of your the newspaper's revenue would come from ads.
Yeah, my folks always used to say, you know, our subscribers pay for the ink and our advertisers pay for everything else. Because, you know, that was just how expensive it was. So, yeah, that is kind of bizarre to hear that, you know, the advertising revenues have gone down to that extent. But I suppose it's probably a necessary outcome because every time I've seen, you know, an online story, whether it's a video piece or an e-piece or a magazine article or something like that, if it's prefaced by an advertisement of some kind, you're usually allowed to skip it after a certain amount of the advertisement is played.
Mm-hmm.
And you know people are. I mean, nobody wants to sit around and wait till the end of the ad. And even if you, for example, look on YouTube at a video, for example, and it gives you an ad, which it does, it seems, at periodic intervals, you're allowed to skip through it after you've seen 5 seconds or so of it. So,
I think a lot of those ads are just taking off television. I mean, it's the same ad.
Yes.
And so I wonder if advertisers will need to redevelop their strategies and really, if they know someone's not going to sit through a 30-second spot, if they're mm-hmm. given that option to opt out after 5 or 10 seconds, how will they structure their advertisement to really get a point across in that first 5 or 10 seconds?
Well, certainly there's going to have to be a brand name showing somewhere, and hopefully in the lower third, because I guess the wisdom still is, by which we mean to say the lower third of the screen, where you know, text typically scrolls and so forth. The general wisdom seems to be that's where people will look. You know, that's the part of the screen they favor looking at most for text, certainly. So certainly we're going to see a brand name in the beginning. Beyond that, I don't know, and I'm wondering if that's why the advertising revenues are going down so much at a service like the New York Times, for example, because advertisers are just saying, well, you know, people are skipping through our ads. Why should we pay for them the way we used to, you know? So
yeah.
I just, you know, random thought there. But.
And I think the other challenge still will be whether paywalls can succeed.
Yeah.
For, you know, the New York Times, I think people will be willing to pay. Your local newspaper, are people going to be willing, a small-town newspaper, are they going to be willing to pay to have access to that newspaper online? And I think that has yet to fully play out. It's not been successful so far, but as more and more stuff moves just to the Internet, we'll see if maybe newspapers and magazines can get away with that. Hey, we've run out of time for today. Our listeners can join us again next week at this time for more of Shop Talk.